The Montreal Screwjob, like, that's a moment. That's also overdone
completely,
as well,
completely.
Bro.
Yeah, it's so tiresome. And, like, the one thing that I actually do feel bad for Brett about, because I don't think he understands this, the reason the Montreal Screwjob lives the way that it does is because he won't stop talking about it. For years, it was all he talked about. Mm-hmm. And his whole legacy, he was like, I was so worried about my legacy being forgotten. His whole legacy became that.
Right.
And a lot of that was him. I mean, everything that happened in WCW was terrible. Like, he deserved such a better end to his story. Mm-hmm. But he has such a high level of bitterness because, you know, he was on top of the world for so long. The Montreal thing happens. He goes to WCW. It's a disaster long before he gets in the ring with Goldberg. Then he gets in the ring with Goldberg, and it all ends.
Yeah.
And it's just talked about at an exhausting level.
I agree with you because it Jesse, I agree with you. It is a moment, but it's not that big of a deal.
It's not. Like, I mean, it's
become
sucks.
That because, like you said, he won't let it
That's
go.
Right.
But it wasn't that big of a deal.
And was he even wronged, if we're being real here?
In my opinion, no.
Because I was watching the doc or whatever, and it's like, oh yeah, like we're just gonna do this whole big brawl at the end and figure that's stupid, bro.
Yeah, like my biggest thing is like Brett really thought that was the plan.
Yeah, like oh yeah, like that's a great ending, or like no, that's dumb.
I just can't envision in that time frame because the important thing is what you just said. The Stone Cold had taken off, mm-hmm. but it didn't matter. The NWO was still beating their ass. Mm-hmm. And you thought in that moment, in that time, Vince was just going to say, sure, just give up the title. Go to WC, you know, it's cool. Mm. Thank me and go on your way. Like, no, you're going to do what I had Yokozuna squash the last guy who was like you and have him carried out of here. Mm. I have beaten everybody who has left my company. I'm going to beat you. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you're not. And the whole thing with I have creative control. No, you don't. You have reasonable creative control in your final 30 days. Mm-hmm. Not losing is unreasonable.
Right.
And I feel like Brett is, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. But a lot of his position in life right now is because of just this, I think, and how I can't... His brother died, like on pay-per-view, in the wrestling ring. Like, I understand his brother-in-laws, you know, were in trench. Like, British Bulldog is probably dead because he was a professional wrestler, and he took steroids and he did all of these other things that came along with being a professional wrestler at that time. So many people associated with him are no longer here. Kurt Hennig, one of his best friends. Ravishing Rick Rude, another guy. Brian Pillman, they're all gone. And so I, to a degree, understand why he has this bitterness towards professional wrestling. But he's the one guy, even more than Hogan, who actually thinks he's like a superhero. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't know he's a character. Like, he can't separate Bret Hart from Bret the Hitman Hart. Mm-hmm. And that's always the weirdest thing about him to me.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, it's because we got to get to the... to the top game, but I saw a clip the other day, I think it was on Twitter, that I just wasn't really aware of, I don't remember or whatever, but they said Hulk Hogan, the caption was Hulk Hogan had talked crazy about Stone Cold, and Stone Cold didn't respond until they finally
the
met
Hall
up.
Of Fame.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
I got a can of whoop ass and it's got Hulk Hogan's
name on it. I
didn't
know that happened. Hulk was not amused. It was real heat.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was the case.
Those two had a little bit of heat for a while.
Is it still that way?
No, I don't think so.
Wasn't that why Stone Cold worked with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall instead of Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania?
No.
I thought I saw Stone Cold didn't want nothing to do with him or something like that.
No, so they can't. That's another lie that they can't make up their mind on.
Well, great.
Like Austin, the way Austin tells the story is he puts a lot of the blame on himself. that he wasn't in the right place to do the Hogan thing. And WWE was fine with it because they felt like, we've got Hogan and we've got Rock and Austin. We have to do one first. Mm-hmm. It would actually work to do Rock first and have a year-long build. Because remember, Hogan got there in February. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania is in April. That's a quick build to Rock and Hogan. Now, obviously, it was what it was. In Toronto, it was incredible.
Yeah.
But the idea was, let's build this out as long as we can with Austin. And that was the year Austin walked away the day after WrestleMania, came back, did the Brock Lesnar walkout in June, was gone until like February, mm-hmm. came back, did the Eric Bischoff thing, and then wrestled one match against The Rock and was gone. Mm-hmm. So they've never had the opportunity to build Hogan and Austin, which I think was the original idea. We have to have one first. The Rock actually makes sense. If Austin doesn't want to do this, it's fine. We have a whole year to figure this out. Mm-hmm. Let's build out a plan. Let's make them wait. And then we'll have Rock Austin next year. Or excuse me, we'll have Hogan Austin next year. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen because Austin was so hurt. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Another game you could play during when you're watching the doc, too, is maybe take a drink every time they say protect the business.
I'll say it again. What is Tony Atlas doing there?
Kind of came out of nowhere.
Why is Tony Atlas in this documentary? We're actually in a part of life where Tony Atlas has nothing to do with the company. Unless he's breaking out the Saba Simba outfit, get him off of my screen.
Who else? Who should be there? And who's left to have there?
I mean, is Taker on it?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
I think Taker was talking nonsense too. I saw some clips.
Not even as a joke. Someone threw it in the chat yesterday. It's like, oh yeah, like they only got like they got about the people they have, like the guests or whatever. It's like, who's still around from back then?
Oh yeah, like
I think
none of them are there.
I think our guy Elijah told me Jim Ross isn't in there.
Yeah, that might have been tough. Mm. He does work for AEW. Like, it could have been difficult to get him.
He's somebody that might
tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might, because he has an interesting relationship with Vince McMahon. Mm. I don't know that I want to hear JR's story tell at this point, as much as I love him. It's gotten a little tough to listen to JR.
I hadn't heard him on the broadcast in a while.
Yeah, it's gotten a little tough. I had to turn away from the podcast right now. And John Bull is correct. Danny in San Francisco is just he's just throwing chairs around his office.
Well, unless he texts us, we wouldn't know.
No, that's true. We wouldn't know.
Somebody don't text, you just don't know.
Shout out. I think we would have lasted if we were only able about 3 minutes on wrestling a show.
Oh, there's no way. Like you gotta.
Danny was literally like, "Yeah, you guys can have your little fun for a couple minutes, but then you have to talk sports."
It's like, you gotta have a shot clock in your head. You gotta have a shot clock. What, a shot clock hasn't gone off, pal?
High school basketball, pal.
Yeah, I'm about to say we playing in 1944. Yeah. Ain't no shot clock here.
We're gonna Bob McAdoo this thing and just run the clock out.
Might as well try to foul, I guess.
Did you know? I think we talked about this before, but did you know there are states that still don't have a shot clock in high school basketball today?
I did. I read something about that last year. There was some like bizarre game where they like run the clock. Yeah, I did know that.
That is so embarrassing.
I didn't know that the shot clock was a state regulated law.
Right. Why is that the case?
Like, who said, you know what? Let's turn the shot clock over to the states. Who ran on that platform?
Let's turn the shot clock.
Who did that?
Let's turn the shot clock to the state.
If Harrison That's Walls hilarious. Really want to win this election, they're gonna take away the shot clock from the states thing. Goodness gracious!
Let's just go put them over the top.
That's so bizarre. What if there's no shot clock? What sport are you guys playing?
That is funny, dude. So
it's a sad realization that we only have 4 minutes left, right?
Yeah.
Well, we cut the wrestling conversation off, and now we can't quite get. I mean,
we can go to 28.
Well, we could do that. We could do that. Or okay, we'll go 28. Because I was gonna say we could do it on the top of the other side, but it's whatever.
Just double down on that one.
let's just do it right now.
So look,
we play by our own rules.
Game number one,
yeah,
of the 2023-2024 Kings season. And I'm interested to talk to you about this because I sense disagreement in this being the number one game. Some of you guys should be able to figure it out by now. It was the game
that
is in no statistical category. It's not in the playoffs. It's not in the regular season. It's in the abyss. It's the play-in game between the Kings and the Warriors. 118-94. Kings dismantle the Warriors and put them away. We talked about the Undertaker. Rest in peace.
Very good. Way to tie it all together.
It's over. Great game, obviously, by none other than Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
32 points, nine rebounds.
You guys demanded it.
Yes.
You guys were demanding that Keegan Murray be better.
He was fantastic in this game.
So was Klay Thompson.
So I was watching back the game, and Klay just missed every shot, literally.
Mm-hmm.
He missed that, and there were wide open looks.
Yeah.
Last game of the Splash Bros.
Crazy. Crazy.
Man, I had a great time on Twitter that night. We was dancing on that grave, boy. But I mean, Keegan Murray was fantastic. De'Aaron Fox, 24 points, 6 assists. Domantas Sabonis did his thing, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Keon Ellis, fantastic defense, 15 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. From Keon Ellis. Keon was that dude. And he had early in the game when it was like, oh, I ain't never seen that before. When he ripped Steph Curry at around half court and went, I feel like I've never seen that before. I feel like I've never seen it. Watching back the
game.
It's
got to be one of the most replayed clips on Twitter.
Oh, man. I was watching that the other day. I said, what? He blocked Curry, like Zabo said. He also he picked him again a little later in the game, in the third quarter, I think. I don't even know how to, I can't even talk on this show. But he got the steal. He deflected Curry's dribble when he thought.
Sorry, bro. You shouldn't have to say what you wanted to say because I don't even like just say it. I don't even know what you meant.
He picked him from behind.
All right, dude.
That's what happened. Why can't we talk basketball on the show? Why can't we talk hoop? That's what happened.
Keep your hands to yourself, please.
That's what happened, man. So he was all over the place in this game. And you mentioned the other big storyline, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
0 points. Zero made field goals.
Crazy.
To end his Warriors career.
Yeah.
And it was we talked about it a little bit earlier. You missed the game. It was a party in there. It was a party in the Golden One.
I remember distinctively, I think the last game was a Sunday. I remember saying goodbye to a lot of people on Sunday because I knew I wasn't going to this game. I can't remember the reason why. It could have just been because it was a Tuesday, but I feel like there had to have been some reason why I didn't go, but I didn't.
I was trying to think because we did the show the next. Well, then we did a Sky River show before the Pelicans game. So you were around.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
Before the Pelicans playoff game? Play-in game?
Yeah, and I remember I couldn't stay because I had to go to my son's baseball game.
Oh.
And everybody was watching it there, and I couldn't stay. But yeah, but before that playing game, we did a Sky River show that Friday. So I say all that to say you were around that week.
Yeah, I was around. Sure. Like I didn't go. Maybe it was just a plan to not go. I'm not sure. Or it might have just been I was afraid the Warriors were going to win. That might have. I was like, I don't want to be there for that.
It really might have just been that
I just didn't want to be there. Because remember, things weren't good. Like the season did not end well. Sacramento was not playing well.
Yeah.
Malik was gone. Herter was gone. It felt like they were reeling. I wasn't joking. You guys were demanding that Keegan Murray step up. He has to be a threat, a major, major threat. And I mean, he was. And I think it wasn't. The vibes weren't good. It wasn't the same as it felt going into the last, the series against the Warriors. And, of course, it was a series against the Warriors. You didn't have you know, you didn't have the one-off component to this. But I have to assume that played a factor in why I didn't go to this game.
Well, to your point, the what is this? I don't know, maybe about 6-7 games. Mm-hmm. I'll just run them down for you. You lose in New York to the Knicks. You blow a 20-point lead there.
Yeah.
You lose in Boston by one, where you actually came back, had a shot to win, and they didn't call a foul on De'Aaron Fox. You win in Brooklyn, but then you lose to OKC, blow another 20-point lead. You get beat up by the Pelicans at home on national TV. You lose just a gut punch against Phoenix, where you were up by three. I think that was Friday night. You were up late in that game and lost that game.
Is that 107, 106?
It was almost good. No, it was 108, 107. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they were reeling. They were reeling. And it didn't feel like they had enough to even get out of this game, mm-hmm. you know, with the Warriors and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But luckily they did. I just remember the Golden 1 Center was electric. And we maybe talked about that because I didn't know what the atmosphere was going to be like for a play-in game. Not even one that's going to – you'd have to play another play-in game if you would have won.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was like, I wonder – but it was – buzzing.
Or would it be like tense?
Right.
Just everybody just kind of like, oh, it's the Warriors.
Man.
It's Steph. We've been through this before. And to that point, I don't know if it, like three of the four games were one mm-hmm. score games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one score. They were 1 point games.
Mm-hmm. And they beat the hell out of them in this game. And like I said, it was buzzing from the start. Like mm-hmm. it was loud. It was like a playoff game
mm-hmm.
from the start. And when the Kings. They got up big early, and it was electric. And then the Warriors got it to one earlier in the third quarter. And it's like, oh, here we go. And the Kings just kind of pulled away after that. And that whole fourth quarter was literally a party.
Mm-hmm.
Literally a party. And, I thought that was the best moment that team had this year.
I'm that with
game.
That.
That was the best moment. Because after that game – there was a belief we were going New Orleans can't beat us again.
Well,
Zion got hurt in that game.
Right.
And there was a real belief. We were talking to our girl Lania after she went to New Orleans. She's like, I'm going. We about to make the playoffs.
Yep.
There was like so much optimism
mm-hmm.
after that win.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out. But it felt like that was the best everybody felt about the Kings getting to the playoffs all year.
Yeah. And it falls in line with the story of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The big win, exhilarating, at home, mm-hmm. party atmosphere, only to go on the road and to get your face kicked in.
Mm. That game was tough because they started off so good.
It did. It felt, I mean, they were up two after one.
Mm-hmm.
And... that was kind of it.
That was it. I remember specifically watching that game. There was like a minute 37 to go or something like that in the first quarter. Kings were up 7. I said, they've got to end this quarter still up 7 or greater.
Yeah.
Like you either, they had the ball. They were taking the ball. And I was like, you got to be 7 or more because you played so well in this first quarter. And they ended up being up 2.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, in a minute and a half. And it was, that's what it was.
And we got a very bitter taste of karma.
Mm.
Keon Ellis played 27 minutes in that game,
mm.
was 0 for 5, scored 0 points,
mm.
and was a negative 20 for those that celebrate.
Mm, mm, mm. Tough.
That was for us laughing at Klay Thompson.
It's kind of worth it.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying it.
No, that's
very
what it was.
Karma.
Another funny moment from...
Now, before you go any further, what I was saying was, after yesterday, the Malik Monk shot, Draymond throwing the ball out of bounds, the chalk outline. How is that not the number one game of the season? I get it.
There's an argument.
It's not a play-in game. It's not a postseason game.
Mm.
But come on, man. Draymond died on the floor of the Golden 1 Center. And Steve Kerr said, get up! Get up! And then he rose from the dead, ran down the floor, only for the end of the game to come about. This is completely ignoring the technical that he picked up that set the Golden One center on fire to throw that pass out of bounds after a Steph Curry turnover to allow for the Malik Monk heroics.
Now, there's a definite argument for it. I can't dispute that. That was going back and watching that game, and then the little intricacies.
I watched it. Come on, man.
It definitely could have been number one. Now, here's where a little bias of being there may play into part for this one. It was a party in that arena from the fourth quarter till 15 minutes after the buzzer was sounded. It was, and there was nothing like that. There was the only thing akin to that, and you'll understand this because you were there for this one. It almost felt like game two of that first round series. And when it was over and everybody was just so happy and believed so much that this was our time.
We're winning a championship, yeah. We're winning a championship. The hell with winning a first round. We're winning the Larry O. That's what we're doing.
That's right. That's how it felt after that playing game. It was a part. I was, and like I said, maybe it's just a personal thing. I met the Sacramento Sings. I saw Jay Cliff, saw Lania. Like, we were all, it ain't no, we coming back here. We coming back here next week. Like, these boys is ready. Da, 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 da. It was such.
Spoiler alert, we didn't.
We did not. I haven't seen them since.
Oh, man.
Since. Oh, but it was an absolute party in the Golden One Center that night, and that may play a role into it too. But sure. But that
sure list is fine.
That game number two is a good one. Another one that we got that you didn't have to be in the building to get this legendary moment. Baby Rain was on the post game interview.
Oh, the classic meme. The iconic Baby Rain meme.
Baby Rain was like, what you asking that question for?
That's epic.
Baby Rain was in the building on this one, man. So.
Okay.
All number right. One, oh,
that's
game.
Good. That's a good little
of the season.
Good little intangible right there.
And now it's time for the new season.
It is.
Time,
man,
to get it
thank
going.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. I said yesterday, this is the longest offseason in history. I have no way to prove that. but it certainly feels like it. Yeah. And for it to start for us today with DeMontis Sabonis on the show earlier
that
today,
was
stuff. Pretty. That's pretty awesome. Of course, that'll be available on the podcast. It's available on YouTube right now, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really great conversation with DeMontis Sabonis before he gets underway with Media Day. We'll have to answer a whole host of questions again. And of course, the first practice with Mike Brown and this squad will be on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You got an opportunity to spend a little time with Mike and Monty yesterday. We can't talk about it because it was off the record.
Off the record.
But King season's here, man.
Yeah, man.
And next week's going to be a really exciting week. And then we'll be counting down to that first game at the Golden One Center. And we noted once we get to that Wednesday, October 9th, we got games every other day for like a week.
Yeah.
And then we got a week off leading into the home opener / season opener against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, man. And we talked about it a little bit earlier, man, but everybody is, this city is so excited for this season.
Mm-hmm.
So excited for this season. I can't wait to see what Doko is going to look like, what the Golden One Center is going to look like, even for these preseason games. You know what I mean? Because I think it's going to be, I'm not going to go crazy and say it's going to be comparable to opening night, but there's going to be a buzz. You know, people wanting to see DeMar DeRozan, people wanting to see this team with DeMar DeRozan. And I'm excited to see how this team performs. And one thing that I think is going to happen this year is I think they will be better at home this year. I think this Golden One crowd, Sacramento, I think will turn into a bit of the home court advantage it should be. You know, and that's not on the fans. It's just I'm talking about the winning record. I think they're going to have a good record at home. I think they're going to take pride in that. And I think it's going to be a place where people look like, oh, man, I ain't trying to go in the Golden One, man. They ain't going to light that stupid beam. And, oh, man, like, it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to have – they're going to have that type of home court advantage this year.
I hope so. This team, I think they will. This fan base, I think, will have a – you know, we talked about at the end of Beam Team 1 that next year is going to feel different. You know, your expectations are going to be different. Like there's a lot that's just going to change the way that this all feels. This was such a good off season, a winning, like I think Kings fans feel good about the way that this off season went. Obviously DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, those types of things. I think, I feel like the vibe might be a little different. Now that could get extinguished with a bad start, but I feel like Kings fans might be going into this with a slightly different outlook than they did last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I can absolutely understand that. I want to look while we're here, because you talk about the start. I know there's Minnesota and the Lakers, the first two games of the season. But, yeah, you know, you got Portland, then you got a quick road trip. You got a quick four-game road trip after that. And, you know, after what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 games. I mean, yeah, you don't want to be 2-5. You don't want to be 3-4. You know what I mean? Like, you want to get off to that good start and feeling good about yourself, be above 500, you know, to start the season off so those vibes can stay there. You know what I mean? And nobody – because do you think it's going to be like an apprehensive Kings community this year? Where
I don't think so.
If they start
–
1-3. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
but I think that's natural. I don't think they're apprehensive right now.
No.
And I don't think they'll be apprehensive going into the Minnesota game, regardless of what happens over that week of preseason games. But yeah, in the scenario that you presented that I interrupted, yeah, that is, oh no. Kangs!
The damn Kangs.
We'll come back. We'll come back, man. We're excited. King season's finally here. But football season is going on right now. George Kittle is going to play. But we got to keep an eye on Debo. And now, Trent Williams out of nowhere.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
Trent Williams went from being sick to hurting his toe. This is fantastic. Jeez. That's the game changer for me. We'll talk about that. Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Back here to close out this week strong. Remember, if you missed anything, we'll run it back. If you missed our conversation with DeMontis Sabonis, we'll run it back for you here on ESPN 1320. Of course, we've got Flashback Friday jumping off over on 102.5 KSFM coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. So many more hours of D'Lo and KC ahead,
because
4 is not enough.
You're not going to get away from us.
4 is not enough. We've got much more ahead. I'm going to go grab a little gift for us while you make everybody some money.
Yeah.
Straight cash, homie.
Let's go, baby. Cash Careway is back at it. A little rough outing last week. Went 1-2. Shout out to the Tennessee Volunteers for keeping me from going 0-3. But what happened last week is going to play a little bit into what we got going on this week, because the first game I'm going to give you guys is number 20 Oklahoma State in the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, taking on number 23 Kansas State. Now, Kansas State, they got beat down by BYU last week. That was a tough one to watch. But Oklahoma State, well, I tell you, I should have known. I should have known the first time. They got me for the second time this year. As I picked them in the points to beat Utah at home, they couldn't do it. They lost. They couldn't cover. They couldn't do anything. So you ain't going to fool. You can't be fooled again. That's what's going to happen around here. Give me Kansas State. They're going to take care of business at home. And Gundy and those boys, they not handling the business. It's a 5.5-point spread. Kansas State is the favorite. Go ahead. Give me K-State. Give me the Wildcats in that joint right there. Then, in the second game I got for you, this one's interesting, because you got the number 15 and 3-0 Louisville Cardinal going to South Bend to take on the number 16 Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And the lines moved a little bit. It was a little high. It was Notre Dame -7. That's now down to 6.5. I'm not scared off. I'm still taking Louisville on this one. Notre Dame, they got the win last week against Miami of Ohio, whatever the case may be. Salute to them. It's all good. You know what I mean? But there's something I'm not 100% sure. They may still win this game, but I don't know if they win by more than a touchdown. That's what I'm saying right there. So give me Louisville plus 6.5 in that one. And then the one everybody's talking about, the one everybody's looking forward to, the big game in Tuscaloosa. We got number 2 Georgia going to Alabama to take on the number 4 Crimson Tide. I know Georgia didn't look great the last time I saw them against Kentucky, but they didn't scare me off. Georgia, in my opinion, is the best team in football. They'll handle business. They'll go into Tuscaloosa. And I didn't like Alabama when they played South Florida a couple weeks ago. So, with that being said, I think Georgia goes in there, handles business. It's a 1-point spread. It's damn near a pick 'em. This is easy work, but if you think Georgia's going to win, this is when you take them. When they're only a 1-point favorite, you might not ever get this for the next 3 years. All right? Give me Georgia minus 1. So, roundup, Kansas State minus 5.5, Louisville plus 6.5, and give me them Georgia Bulldogs minus 1. Y'all getting paid out here this weekend. Thanks to your boy Cash Caraway. Let's get it.
You still using that tagline, we're getting paid, huh?
Well, some people might travel. Some people may listen to this and be going to Tahoe, mm-hmm. going to Reno, mm-hmm. going to Vegas, going to Baltimore. You know, they may travel. They may be going to New York for the weekend. No, speaking of New York for the weekend, did you see that announcement yesterday?
You misunderstood. Are you talking about the SummerSlam announcement?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the Minnesota announcement? Was that the Royal Rumble? What's Minnesota?
I thought it was SummerSlam too, but I don't know.
They maybe it was a 2-night Royal Rumble. I can't remember. All of this stuff is going to wind up being 2 nights.
It is.
It's going to be 2-night Money in the Bank. What? Why?
2-night Money in the Bank.
You
want to
answer your FaceTime over there?
My friends don't know what I do for a living.
We got a couple of bottles of Beyonce. Ooh. Sir Davis delivered to us. This is our first opportunity to try this.
Hey, I got
to bring some to the tribal chief because I know he wanted to try this.
What is this?
This is whiskey. Mm. So this looks like a shot. But is Jesse in there? Jesse, you want some? No, you're good. Oh, okay. All right.
Jesse. No celebration.
It's all right.
I don't know what we're celebrating, but we're celebrating. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, we celebrate and we kept.
Sir, that does not look like a shot.
Yeah, that was I think I'm gonna have to give that one to Aaron. That was a little. I did not mean to pour that much at all. That's a definite.
I had to tell the wife, come pick me up.
That's a definite my bad. That's a definite my bad moment. That is easy.
My dog.
There it is.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know, shout out D-Lo and KC. Shout out ESPN 1320 to Insiders. You know, Odyssey. We out here.
Man, shout out to the Chatty House.
Shout out to the Chatty House. The Chatty House After Party, another successful episode.
Young Zell.
You know what I mean? Young Zell, big ups. And, you know what I mean?
The fact that the Kings off season is finally behind us.
We made it.
Here's
we made
to
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I see you, Queen B.
Sir
I see
Davis.
You, Queen B.
This is a nice little whiskey right here.
You, I'm good. It just hit.
He's a smooth. Hit. Yeah, it's good.
It's good. I ain't gonna lie.
I like whiskey. No, it's not for everybody. This is good stuff right here.
You know what? I when I went to dinner the other day, what has kind of become my drink that I hope this makes sense. I don't think it tastes good at all. Like, I'm not like, oh, this is delicious. But somebody go to a restaurant, what you want to drink? Oh, yeah, I'll take one of those. Yeah, it's good. It's good. An old fashioned.
Oh, old fashioned is spectacular.
I don't think they taste good at all. But
really?
But I'm like, nah. Yeah, I'll take a little old fashioned. It's something I could sip on. You know what I mean? Like, it's good.
I mean, it's watered down. It's sweetened.
Mm.
Oh, that's
I don't know.
Too bad.
You can
get one with smoke. Get a whole presentation like at SR Prime.
My buddy Elias, he kind of put me on the old fashions a little while ago when we met and our sons go to school together, good friends. And we'd go over to the house. He's like, well, make your old fashioned or whatever. And I was like, I don't really drink these things. But, you know, I was trying to be a good guest. And I was drinking. All right, cool. And every time I go over, he make an old fashioned. I'm like, man, cue up an old fashioned, man. Go ahead, man. Let's get it done.
It's a nice little social drink.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Looks good in your hand. Yeah. Hey, drinking my old fashioned.
He actually
sophisticated.
He actually makes a pretty good old fashioned too. Maybe that's the case.
You know what I'm really starting.
So does SR Prime.
You know what I'm really starting to enjoy more is wine. I'm really starting to like wine more.
T-Lo Sabonis.
Oh, yeah, I'm kidding. I don't know what it is. Maybe
white wine, red wine.
Nah, I like reds. I find that I like pretty strong reds. Like when me and Gavin went to Q1227 a week or so ago. I don't really know what to order, so I was just like, hey, can I have like a red that's like pretty bold, strong? She was like, oh, I got the perfect one for you. She brought it out and she was dead on. It was perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
I ain't got my wine game too much. I got to step it up.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was. Like, I don't know what makes it bold. I don't know what makes it strong. Like, I don't know that stuff yet. Like, with tequila, I figured that out with tequila. The different types, the different blends. Like, I've learned to read, like, what are the little notes in it to find what I really like when it comes to sipping tequila.
Yeah.
I haven't learned to do that with wines yet.
I saw the other day... I'm gonna have to go check this out. They got a black-owned winery in Lodi. I got Alexander. I can't remember, but I got to check that out. Yeah.
Very good.
I was like, look at you in Lodi. Well, I mean, that's
where Lodi. Yeah,
that's where the wine is. But.
Yeah, yeah. They got some. I know it's Lodi, but shout out. Hey, first of all, shout out.
Shout out Lodi. Shout out Lodi and shout out Clarksburg, man. Big ups, man. Those are two. Places that I discovered when I moved back to Sacramento. Well, I knew where Lodi was. Clarksburg, I had never been to Clarksburg a day in my life. I was like, what is this? I used to live next to Clarksburg my entire life and had never gone over there.
I'm going to need a little further explanation. Can you read Nicole's tweet out loud? I need to.
Well, she said...
She said, "Cabs are the best.
Cabs are the best. A nice meaty red."
Okay. Letting that go, huh, Coach? Okay. All right.
What do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do?
All I was asking for was, I don't know what that phrase means.
It's like the sophomore class.
I don't know what that phrase means.
We'll deal with that fan. We'll get him thrown out.
Shout out Good Kid Dad City. He's in the Matthews Mattress Shaddy's house. I saw him on Instagram, and it's catching on. It is catching on. He used the phrase, Rabin team. He used it. It's catching on. It's going crazy all over Sacramento. I was distracted. Sorry. But it's going all over Sacramento. Rabin team. Shout out.
All over
Put
Sacramento.
It on a shirt.
Rabin team?
Put it on a shirt.
It's better than the other one.
I believe you called it the Redeem Beam.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he said. I think he said Rabin.
Let's not allow Redeem Beam to catch on.
Redeem Beam.
You got to get that one at the
gas
station.
And if we do trademark it before Blue Chew or any of these other companies get a hold of it.
Put it on a shirt, Rabin team. I like Rabin Beam too. You know, that's a good one. That's a good name.
You know, we've got football this weekend, obviously. Juwan Jennings said something during his media availability that I think deserves like a little bit more attention.
Okay.
I think there's limits to this, to be fair. But he didn't speak to the media after Sunday's game.
Okay.
And he said he wasn't in the right headspace after the loss, and he left the locker room because he didn't think he had the right answers for the media. And that's probably the first time that the media really wanted to hear from Juwan Jennings. It wasn't meant to be shade, but like he had a phenomenal game. And I think sometimes we forget, and I don't think you can grant – every athlete that leeway every game, because obviously I'm thinking about Sacramento and the blowouts, and here comes KZ Akpala to talk about it. Or God, Keon Ellis. It may not make sense now. Keon Ellis had to go to the media when he wasn't Keon Ellis.
Right.
He was Keon Ellis on the Sacramento Kings. He wasn't the guy we know now.
Right. He was two-way Keon Ellis.
Right, exactly. And he's out at the podium. And but I do think we should grant athletes like a little bit more leeway when it comes to stuff like this, because he just said, I didn't know what to say. I didn't really know how to handle that. Like, you're dealing with the emotional high of this career moment and the fact that, you know, that like you didn't get the job done. You set out to do one thing. It was beat the Los Angeles Rams. You can't get that done. And I didn't know how to answer questions I didn't want to say the wrong thing to where it made it look like I was selfish or all of these other things. And he said, I wasn't in the right space. I didn't have the answers.
Yeah.
And I really respected that.
Yeah. And that's, to be honest with you, that's fair. You know what I mean? Cause it's not like, he's talking about he'll never talk to you guys again, or I'm not going to talk to you. Like, give me an.
And he can't do that tomorrow. Like, if they lose, or if they lose to the Patriots, he can't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that. Thinking once.
Kenny, I'm a believer of you stand up there and you talk and you comment, mm-hmm. right?
I understand.
But if he's, say for instance, you know you're going to talk to Juwan Jennings on Wednesday regardless,
mm-hmm.
and say they lost on Sunday, would it, man, no, I'll see you guys on Wednesday. I promise you I will give you time. We will talk. Not today. Cause if he's not in the right headspace after a loss, and says the wrong thing,
mm-hmm.
you know that he got to deal with that,
right.
Not the media or us or anything. Yeah. He got to deal with that. That's so right. If he
you can't undo it,
yeah.
Like once you say it, it's said.
Yeah. So if he 4 weeks in a row needs not after the game, guys. Mm. I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Mind you, once again, I would say, hey man, you got to talk to him. That's part of it. But to protect your locker room, to protect you as a player, if you're just bad and losing moments like that with your words and your filter and everything else like that, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But also, I don't have a job to do like those writers as well. Maybe they're kind of relying on some of those quotes as well. So I
feel like if you were to push it off, like not post game, I feel like Monday's probably the latest because by Wednesday you're already on to the next week.
Well, everyone's kind of moved on. That's probably his first availability.
But you probably have to like make it if you were to just all right, like give him the option. You're not gonna do a post game. You got to do it Monday or whatever. Then you got to figure out sometime.
I got you.
Yeah, because I feel like if you were to do it, like at that point, right down to the next week, team's already moved on.
And maybe it's that I just kind of like Juwan Jennings, so I want to give him a bit of a pass on it, but I just kind of respected the fact that he acknowledged it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I didn't respect what Jamal Murray did. You know, when Jamal Murray threw the heating pad at an official and said, well, that's old news. Well, it's old news because you left the locker room. This is our first opportunity to address you. Yeah, you guys are asking me something that happened a couple of days ago. Yeah, we couldn't ask you because you left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't respect that.
Yeah.
And that's actually stuck with me regarding Jamal. And I think it's kind of why I have, like, feelings, you know, like some thoughts on him. But I know that's a small thing. We're talking about a football game. We're talking about the 49ers and the Patriots. I just respected that from
that. Yeah, it's a real moment.
This goes south Sunday. Panic meter's out, yeah?
Yeah, for me it is. Panic meter is, yeah, I got to press the button. Right now, I said the panic meter is at a 2. I think I had it. It would jump up to like a 7 at that point. Like it's... Loss to the Patriots at home in this situation is worth 5 levels of panic because the Patriots, I respect all these professionals. We saw what the Panthers did last week, all this other stuff. But just being real, the doesn't feel like the Panthers have enough weapons to be able to beat a team like the 49ers, even if they're not at full strength. And when I think of weapons, I'm thinking offensively. I think the Patriots have a respectable defense, but offensively, if you're not turning the ball over, there's no way that offense should march down the field 80, 85 yards 3 different times in this game. Like that shouldn't happen. And yeah, I found a hard pathway to a Patriots win if the Niners are playing a clean game. They're not turning the ball over, not a lot of penalties, and not giving the Patriots short field opportunities or even scoring opportunities in that respect. It's going to be tough sledding for the Patriots.
If they do, if they were to lose, would they give us a pretty good idea of who the 49ers are going to be this season? Not necessarily that they're going to lose out the rest of the season or anything like that, but more so maybe you're just not that elite Super Bowl contender this year?
It depends. I have a lot of concerns if Trent Williams doesn't play. He's questionable. I think Debo's questionable. Trent went from being sick earlier this week to I guess he hurt his toe. I don't know the severity of it, but like I've always said, give me Trent, give me Brock, and I feel like I'm good even with the absence of Debo, Christian McCaffrey, you know, George Kittle, whatever other offensive player you want to throw in there. I feel like if you give Brock time, he'll find the Juwan Jennings. You know, he's going to go back to Ronnie Bell. He's going to find Jordan Mason. He's going to work with Jordan Mason. I feel confident in all of those things. You take away Trent Williams, I feel a lot differently about Brock Purdy. I feel a lot differently about Jordan Mason. And I feel a lot differently about the San Francisco 49ers. If Trent's out this game and they lose, I don't think it's indicative. While I have concerns, I don't think it's indicative of who the 49ers are. But I'll start to – like, I think you brought this up earlier this week, Jesse. Like, they just might be a good NFC team. They might not be as separated as we like originally thought. And that could wind up being what we see here.
Yeah, they get to 1-3. I still look at it. They've got a level of talent on that roster, if healthy, to be able to bounce back from that. But it would... Like I said, I'm not going to act like it would be anything that I'd be like, oh, yeah, everything's great. Like, no, it'd be concerning for sure. I look back on that Patriots team that won the Super Bowl after losing it the year before, and they started off 1-2 as well. They started off 1-2. They got beat by the Lions.
Did they start off 1-3?
No. So they started off 1-2. And then I think they won 5 straight.
Okay.
So, and they lost the second loss.
Because we're only talking about if they lose.
Right, right. No, I was just talking about just in general of like where the Niners are right now. But 1-3 feels a lot different. And then you got stuff like, you got the Trent stuff. You got like, I don't know if you caught this at all, but this weird Brandon Ayuk thing today. I don't know if it's a big deal or not. I got to really look at it, but... He came out in the practice with the wrong shorts, and him and Kyle. Kyle was talking to him about it. I don't know. I'm gonna tag you in. There's a reason why I didn't see this, but I'll tag you in it. And I don't know. Like it's bizarre. Like why is he coming out in the wrong shorts? Why is this even happening? You know what I mean?
This team has just been off, bro.
Yeah. And Kyle's talking to him about it. I'm trying to explain it. But Kyle's talking to him about it, and he's kind of probably telling him, like, looks like he's telling him, like, what are you doing?
Oh, look who's accountant's on.
That's why I missed it. It was a quote tweet that I saw.
Oh.
But Kyle's like, bro, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
It looks confrontational.
So, little weird stuff like that, man.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
I'm sorry. I'm just completely locked in on this. Like, okay, it doesn't look as bad now. They're standing by themselves. It doesn't look as bad as it like did the first time, or it didn't look as bad as it did at the beginning. But I think. He's pointing to his short. Kyle, I have no idea what they're saying. Someone's absolutely going to ask him, okay, he does look pissed off. He could just be, it could be like, hey, like attention to detail is important. It's why
we're losing.
It's why your season has started the way that it has. You're not paying attention to detail.
Yeah.
And
little things.
Yeah, it does look weird that he's out there in red shorts and everybody's out there in black.
Just little silly stuff like that. They asked Kyle about it. They said, "Did Brandon Ayuk?"
Did anyone ask why he's taking off his shoes? Oh, he's taking his shorts off. Okay, wait a minute. How long does this video run? What is happening? Oh, he's in a bad space. Oh man. Okay.
So like, what are you like? What are you doing, bizarre. Man?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
What are you doing, my guy? So they asked Kyle Shanahan, and you know,
dude, you're. So I just saw the tweet, like the tweet accompanying it.
Yeah, he definitely.
I don't know why people are like this.
He definitely is my boy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, they asked Kyle Shanahan about it. I guess today they said, "Did Ayuk come out to practice wearing the wrong shorts?" Kyle said, "Yeah, he did. Good question." And he said, "Is it a punishable offense?" He said, "No. I wish he could wear different shorts. I wish I could wear different shorts." I guess. So I don't know if it's a team wide mandate, but I think what you said is probably what that conversation was. Is pay attention to what the hell we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why we're where we at right now, 1-2 and scuffling, because we're not paying attention to the little things. And it may seem like nothing. Like if this is what he was saying, I completely understand. It may seem like nothing, but these things matter. If you got a job to do, if you've got a uniform that you're supposed to wear the uniform the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. In the game, if you've got a job to do, do the job the way it's supposed to be done.
Big thanks to Kyle Mattson, Eddie Gonzalez, and Jay Gaydon for being with us. It's show is over. Yeah, big thank you to the Sacramento Kings and Domantas Sabonis for being here with us. If you miss any part of today's show, we will run it back next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos 49ers. Let's go.